and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., the man who is going to guide us through another episode of Spiritual Perspectives, where we're going to continue our look at power and God's protection. Now, I do want you to remember some of the caveats that I've shared with you regarding regarding protection. Keep in mind that this is not something that is just a one deal type of situation where you can say, hey, this is always the way God handles situations like this. When it comes to his people, he is always, always, always going to protect us. He is always, no, you might want to take a listen to what I shared on March 17th when I talked about this, possibly March 10th when I talked about it. Won't go into the details now since I went into, I think, enough details on some of the earlier discussions about power. Or I could just say, you know, not even look for those specific dates, but maybe just go into your search bar at speakingwith.com. Go into your search bar and just pull up power. Just type in power, pull it up, and just listen to what we've talked about on some of these prior discussions of power, and particularly as it pertains to protection. All right. Now, that said, let's take a look at what's taking place in this particular situation when the nation of Israel has a king who is pleasing to God, and he and his people are about to, well, they're in trouble. A more powerful nation is ready to, well, do them some harm, serious harm. So let's start again. 2 Kings chapter 18. Again, 2 Kings chapter 18. Verse 1 reads, in the third year of Hoshea, not Hosea, Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. Just as a brief refresher, just a brief reminder, remember Solomon had messed up by driving the people too hard when he was king after succeeding his father David. When Solomon's son took over, after Solomon died, the people said, hey, look, don't be so hard on us. Go easy on us. Don't drive us the way King Solomon drove us. And his son Rehoboam refused to listen to reason. He failed to exercise wisdom, and he drove the people hard just like his father before him drove them hard. And he said that that's what he was going to do. And at that point, the people said, all right, you rule your own kingdom. And as a result, we ended up with two kingdoms, Israel in the north. The southern part came to be called Judah. All of them the same people, Israelites, but they divided due to unwise leadership by one of the wisest men who ever lived. And then his lack of wisdom followed by his son. So we have in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father had done. And remember, as I shared with you the last time, when we're talking about David being Hezekiah's father, they don't mean his biological father who sired him, but David was a predecessor to Hezekiah as far as being king, and David was a king who did right in the sight of the Lord. He wasn't perfect any more than any of us is perfect, but he did right in the sight of the Lord for the most part. He was a person who wanted to please God so much that the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. Hezekiah, like King David, King Hezekiah, like King David, wanted to please God. And so that's why they're calling David his father. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. He removed the high places, smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles. He broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made, for up to that time, the Israelites had been burning incense to it. What Moses did with that bronze snake was right. God had instructed him to make that snake so that whoever would gaze upon that snake, believing that God would cure them from a snake bite, prevent the snake bite, they would be healed. These people were now worshiping the bronze snake. So Hezekiah got rid of it. Listen to verse 5. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. And one of the things that you'll find when the Bible talks about someone trusting in the Lord, they're talking about relationship. This person generally has an intimate relationship with God. And that's what trust is about. It is about having confidence in someone based on an intimate relationship you have with that person, combined with confidence that this person has the power and the will to take care of you. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord and did not cease to follow him. And listen again now. He was 25 years old when he became king, a young man following God diligently. He kept the commands the Lord had given Moses, and the Lord was with him. He was successful in whatever he undertook. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. From watchtower to fortified city, he defeated the Philistines as far as Gaza and its territory. And remember, the Philistines were a bad army. Those boys were bad. They were tough. He defeated them. Verse 9. In King Hezekiah's fourth year, which was the seventh year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, marched against Samaria and laid siege to it. Samaria, often the capital of Israel, once the kingdom became divided, Israel in the north, Judah in the south. And so the king of Assyria, the same one, the same country that King Hezekiah rebelled against and refused to serve, went up against Samaria in Israel and laid siege to it, surrounded the city, making sure that no one and nothing got in or out. Now check this out. At the end of 3 years, the Assyrians took it. They besieged that city for 3 years. The Samaritans held out for 30 days. 40 days later, they were still holding out. 300 days later, they were still holding out. But not only were they still holding out, but the Assyrians were still laying siege to them. 2 years later, the Assyrians still laying siege to Samaria. Finally, at the end of 3 years, almost 4 years later, at the end of 3 years, the Assyrians took it. So Samaria was captured in Hezekiah's sixth year, which was the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel. The king of Assyria deported Israel to Assyria and settled them in Halah and Gozan on the Habor River and in towns of the Medes. Remember now, God allowed this to happen. In fact, had it happened to the Israelites, because they kept rebelling against him. They kept sinning against him. They refused to let the Spirit of grace help them get their act together. And so after having foretold that this was going to happen to them, God made sure it happened. The Assyrians came in, crushed the northern kingdom, Israel, Samaria, and took them captive. This happened, here we go, in verse 12, because they had not obeyed the Lord their God, but had violated his covenant. All that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, they neither listened to the commands nor carried them out. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to do a better job of exercising wisdom and, if you will, common sense. It really is common sense to obey the one who displays the kind of power that God has displayed. Remember, he is the one who brought all those curses on the Egyptians when Moses was trying to get the Pharaoh to let God's people go. The ancestors of these Israelites were there watching when God caused the waters to return to their place and overthrow, drown, and kill the Pharaoh, all his army, and all their horses. They watched that. Some of their ancestors were those who were being led by Joshua, who succeeded Moses when Moses died. As Joshua led successful military campaign after successful military campaign after successful military campaign, God giving them the power they needed to overcome their enemies and take possession of more and more of the land that God had promised them. They were aware of all of this. They knew what God said the blessings would be if they obeyed God. They knew what God said the curses would be if they disobeyed God. They refused to listen, and so finally God said, enough is enough. And he had the Assyrian army go in, crush them, and take the survivors captive. In the 14th year of King Hezekiah's reign, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, attacked all the fortified cities of Judah and captured them. The Assyrian army was a mean army. They were strong, they were quick, they were smart. They were great military strategists. They were some bad boys. Jerusalem was the capital of Judah. And Judah is the country that King Hezekiah, the good king, is overseeing, is ruling over. King of Assyria attacked all the fortified cities of Judah and captured them. So Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent this message to the king of Assyria at Lachish. I have done wrong. Withdraw from me, and I will pay whatever you demand of me. The king of Assyria exacted from Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. So roughly 11 tons of silver and 1 ton of gold. So Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the temple of the Lord and in the treasuries of the royal palace. At this time, Hezekiah, king of Judah, stripped off the gold with which he had covered the doors and doorposts of the temple of the Lord and gave it to the king of Assyria. One thing that King Hezekiah probably should have done when he decided to rebel against the king of Assyria is he probably should have consulted God first to find out what God's input would be about that matter. But anyway, so this is what happened. Verse 17, same chapter. We're still in 2 Kings chapter 18. Verse 17, the king of Assyria sent his supreme commander, his chief officer, and his field commander with a large army from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem. Remember, I shared with you, Jerusalem, usually the capital of Judah. They came up to Jerusalem and stopped at the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the washerman's field. They called for the king. and Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, the palace administrator, Shebna, the secretary, and Joah, son of Asaph, the recorder, went out to them. The field commander said to them, "Tell Hezekiah, this is what the great king, the king of Assyria, says. On what are you basing this confidence of yours? You say you have strategy and military strength, but you speak only empty words. On whom are you depending?" Now, remember now how David responded when he heard Goliath belittling the God of Israel. That's what's happening now. On whom are you depending? Remember what I shared with you before when I've discussed the way wars were fought back in that day. Very often it was not only, you had not only the soldiers, the human soldiers engaging in battle, but they also assumed that whatever gods they were worshiping were also engaging in the battle. And so they were assuming that whichever god was stronger would gain the victory ultimately. And the gods, the stronger gods gaining the victory, would be ensuring victory for the humans that were serving them. They knew that King Hezekiah worshiped God. He was being very insulting when he asked the question, "On whom are you depending that you rebel against me? Look now, you are depending on Egypt." Not just God, but another country, Egypt. "That splintered reed of a staff, which pierces a man's hand and wounds him if he leans on it. Such is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who depend on him. And if you say to me, 'We are depending on the Lord our God,' isn't he the one whose high places and altars Hezekiah removed, saying to Judah and Jerusalem, 'You must worship before this altar in Jerusalem'?" See, the king of Assyria did not have a proper understanding of what Hezekiah had done when he got rid of all those other altars. He didn't realize that King Hezekiah had gotten rid of the altars of all the false gods. And this one altar that remained in Judah was the one that was still erected to the one true living God. "Come now, make a bargain with my master, the king of Assyria. I will give you 2,000 horses if you can put riders on them. How can you repulse one officer of the least of my master's officials, even though you are depending on Egypt for chariots and horsemen?" What arrogance. "Furthermore, have I come to attack and destroy this place without word from the Lord? The Lord himself told me to march against this country and destroy it." What do you think about that? You think the Lord told him to do that?